Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 6, conversation between Narada and Vyas, and today's text should be 22. Sakrid yad darshitam rupam etat kamaya te anaga matkamaha shanakai sadhu sarvan munchati prichayan. Sakrid yad darshitang rupam etat kamayate naga matkamak chanakai sadhu sarvan munchati hrichayan. Sakrid yad darshitang rupam etat kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati hrichayan. Sakridyad darshitang rupam etat kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati hrichayan. Please chant. Sakridyad darshitang rupam etad kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati hrichayan. Sakridyad darshitang rupam etad kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati richayan. Sakridyad darshitang rupam etat kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati richayan. Sakridyad darshitang rupam etat kamayate naga matkamakshanakai sadhu sarvan munchati richayan. Vaishnavins, sakridyad darshitang rupam okay, synonyms, sakrit, once only, yet, that, darshitam, shown, rupam, form, etat, this is, kamaya, for hankerings, te, your, anagha, O virtuous one, mat, mine, kamaha, desire. Shanakai by increasing. Sadhu, devotee. Sarvan, all. Munchati, gives away. Hrichayan, material desires. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Please repeat. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. But when he thinks, feels, and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. That is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, whereas spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. There was no material desire in Narada, and yet, just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tiname, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarine. Om Agyana Tamarandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang, Stapitang Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandeyahang Shri Guru, Shri Utapadakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha, Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbatam Tang Sajivam, Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalit, Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripri Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaurabhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So who's speaking here? Krishna. Yeah, the Lord Vishnu. Narada Muni, as a boy, was meditating by the mechanical process. It's interesting because it states that he learned from the Bhaktivedantas. Bhakti means devotional service, and Veda means knowledge, anta means the end. So the end or the highest form of knowledge is to engage in bhakti. Yet it seems that he's engaging here in a lower process, the mechanical Ashtanga type of meditation. So it seems a little incongruous if you've learned, just like we've learned from Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We've learned the process of devotional service. So for us to now sit down and try to meditate on the Lord in the heart would be incongruous. It's not what we learned from Him. So it seems a little incongruous that Narada Muni here is practicing this particular methodology. But based on the age, that was probably the proper process for that age. So most people would have learned that. That would be the first way to approach the Lord. Anyway, so he engaged in that process of sitting down and meditating, and he actually saw the Lord in the heart. And the Lord disappeared from his heart. He opened his eyes. The Lord was in front of him. And then he disappeared. And now the Lord is explaining to him why he's disappeared. First of all, he addresses him as, O virtuous one. Does anybody here know any virtuous persons in this world today? Anybody you would call a virtuous person? Yes, all of you are virtuous people. If you're following the four exit principles, chanting Hare Krishna, you're a virtuous person. May not be 100% pure, but you're virtuous. You're virtuous, for sure. So everybody who's following Srila Prabhupada sincerely is a virtuous person, we can accept. So a virtuous one, you have only once seen my person. So have we ever seen Krishna? Anybody ever seen Krishna? Yes. At least theoretically we should accept that the deity form of the Lord is non-different from the Lord himself. So every day we're seeing the Lord. And if we actually enter into that mood more and more and more, as Prabhupada said right here in this room, Krishna, Rukmini, Dwarkadish will speak to you. They're standing there waiting to speak to you, but do you want to speak to them? As living entities, as Prabhupada says in his purport, we're not dead stones. We think, we feel, we will. But unfortunately, in the conditioned state of life, due to our identity crisis, not really knowing who we are, we think, feel, and will materially. We've been conditioned to do that for unlimited lifetimes. That's why we're called, those of us who are in the material world are called Nityabada, eternally conditioned. Not actually eternally. We've actually been in the spiritual realm if we follow Srila Prabhupada's presentation. Some say no, but that's not what Srila Prabhupada says. We've come from the spiritual world, which means at some point in remote time, we were not conditioned materially. We were conditioned spiritually, which is our original conditioning, if you will. But at some remote point in time, we, by misuse of our independence, we were placed in this material realm. And since then, we have been undergoing an identity crisis, thinking that I'm a demigod or an ant or a dog or a cat or a human being. We're none of those things. So what is our real identity? Jivera Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. We are eternally servants of Krishna. Eternally Krishna servants. And so we need to revive that mentality. As Prabhupada points out in the purport here, that devotional service is non-different from the Lord himself. So if we revive this mentality of being Krishna's servant, we come in contact with Krishna constantly. Because devotional service is the process, the exchange between Bhagavan and Bhakta. And that exchange is called bhakti, or devotional service. So Bhagavan has to be there. We're not just servants. We're servants of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Otherwise, yes, everybody's doing some service. Ultra-reliable service, as we've said many times. You can practically set your watch by some people who live in this block. Is at a particular time, every single day, they're walking their dog. Such sincere service to the dog. The dog has to be walked at 6:45. So they come out 6:45 practically by the minute. So everybody's serving someone. Everybody's serving someone. But bhakti means the exchange of service between the bhaktas, ourselves, and Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. And that process is called bhakti. So if we revive our real identity, if we remember who we really are, and it's a gradual process of waking up. And that's why Lord Chaitanya came. Krishna ordered, serve me. Sarva Dharma Pratyaja. We refuse to accept that direct order. So he comes again as Lord Chaitanya to beg us, to plead with us, to chase after us. Please, just come before me and chant and dance, and you'll gradually revive your original consciousness. Prabhupada said, that's all you need to do. At the very basic level, devotional service in our line means coming before Gaur-Nitai, chanting and dancing. Who can't do that? Anybody can do that. A child can do that. We see every day the children coming by. He naturally chants and dances. The adults are chanting and dancing, so he chants and dances in front of the deity. So don't think that's going for in vain. Every single time he comes here and chants and dances in front of Gaur-Nitai, he's getting credit for it. His spiritual bank account is going up and up and up and up and up. And if he continues to do that, the day will come when he will be talking to Gaur-Nitai, because he will have revived his original consciousness as their eternal servant. So we can test ourselves to see how far along are we in this process. Are we hankering? Like the Lord says, you've only seen me once, but I've done that so you can increase your hankering to see me. So are we hankering every day to see Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baldev Subha? Are we hankering even more so to engage in some service to them? What can we do? Prabhupada repeated many times, don't be puffed up. Whatever you think you've done, you're not actually doing. Anyway, 327. Prakate kriyamanani gunai sarvani. Karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham itimanyate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, we, the conditioned souls, are thinking that we've done something. And that something is actually being carried out by the modes of nature. We're just witnessing. So we have to learn how to desire properly. How to desire to go out on Sankirtan instead of going to some nightclub. How to desire to offer nice boga to the Lord instead of just going to Whole Foods, buying something and shoving it in the mouth. You see, they're so lusty. They can't even wait to get out of the store. In the store, you're already eating. They pick up a bag of something and they start eating before they even get to the cash register. So this is how lusty the living entity can become. And it's not out of hunger. It's not that they're starving. It's just habit. You know, I'm driven by habit to eat this type of cookie or that type of potato chip. So I can't wait to pay for it and get outside. I get it, put it in the cart, rip the bag open and start eating. So it just takes a little bit of self-control, a little bit of restraint to become a devotee of the Lord. Yes, you can buy the same boga practically, bring it home, or if you're on Sankirtan, in a Sankirtan van, you say a few prayers to the spiritual, it's considered offered. And gradually we do it not just, all right, because if I don't do it, I'll be eating sin. No, we do it out of love. That Krishna's been so kind to me since time immemorial. He's been taking care of me. Even though I've turned away from him, I'm in this material world trying to enjoy his property. Still, he gives me more than I require. It's just like if we talk about edibles. There's so much to eat in this community. There's so much to eat. I mean, the other day I just did a little quick video with the iPhone of the Rajboga offering that was made on Gaur Purnima. And it's just practically unlimited. Just a few tables, but it looks unlimited when you look at it on a video. So many salty preps, sweet preps. Just so much to eat. Krishna is so kind. Not only does he give us the boga, the ingredients, but he gives us the knowledge how to transform those ingredients into something really nice. Because you give the same ingredients to somebody who's agya, ignorant, and they can't make anything out of it. What is this? What is this bitter melon? What is this? You know, what am I supposed to do with this? And even they think they know what, you know, because since time immemorial, Europeans and others have been eating potatoes, but they don't know how to make them. Their idea of a potato is they throw it in a pot with some hot water, they boil it, and they put some salt and pepper, and there's so much you can do with potatoes. You give some potatoes to a Bengali. I remember our Mahamadasudan used to be here. I was always amazed. Anything you give him, just a few potatoes, he'll go home and come back and, hey, Prabhu, I just made this nice potato sub. What do you take? It's so wonderful. Ask Bhaja Govinda when he used to run the Maharoom here. Any ingredients they get, because they know, they've been trained. They grew up in a household that was where mom and, you know, was cooking something, and so they learn, and now they can transform practically anything. A few potatoes and a few spices, and it's like, my God, that's a potato? Yeah, Bengali style. Wonderful. So it requires some knowledge. And due to lack of this knowledge, they ruin everything, and therefore they think they have to eat meat to get some taste in life. But you don't have to. There's so much flavors there already in the vegetables and the fruits and the nuts and the grains, and you add some milk product to it and through the roof. So just we have to overcome our identity crisis because we don't know who we are. We don't act properly. And this is actually the hallmark of a demon. As Krishna points out in the 16th chapter, when he explains to Arjuna what is the divine nature and what is the demoniac nature. So he begins, Pravartim cha nivartim cha jana navidur asura. Nasocham na picha acharo nasatyam teshu bidyate. This is the beginning of the demoniac mentality. Pravartim cha nivartim cha. They don't know what to do and what not to do. So by joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we've agreed to be told by Srila Prabhupada what to do and what not to do. Two things have to be there. You have to know what you should do and what you should not do. If you're not interested, then you're a demon. If you're not interested in knowing what to do and what not to do, then you're a demon. That's the very first sign of a demon. They don't want to be told what to do. Whatever I want to do, I do. I just figure. And that leads up to the kind of situation that we had yesterday in the news. Wherever you get your news from, the TV or the internet, whatever, there's always some disaster. So yesterday at some college, Central Michigan University, the parents came to pick up the student to take him for his spring break. They didn't leave. He shot them to death in his college room, and then he ran away. I don't know if they caught him yet. Up to late last night, they still hadn't caught him. So, identity crisis. The parents thought that their mission in life was to raise this child and send him to the university, and they accomplished that. But the thanks that they got was, boom, he shot them dead. Nobody knows yet what led up to it. Some people say, well, maybe there was abuse, whatever. Still, there's not, it doesn't give you the right to kill your parents, to kill anyone. The Vedas clearly state there are six kinds of aggressors that can be killed. If you don't know the list, it's there in the purport. There, it's in different places, but in the purport to first chapter, text 36 proper, begins the purport there by explaining. So the first one is a poison giver. One who gives the poison can be killed. Second one is one who sets fire to the house can be killed. The third one is one who attacks with deadly weapons can be killed. Fourth one is one who usurps agricultural lands can be killed. Fifth one is one who steals great wealth can be killed. And the sixth one is one who kidnaps the wife can be killed. Those six kind of aggressors can be killed. It doesn't say that if your parents abuse you, you can kill them. So even if there was abuse, now you've made it to adulthood, then maybe you turn your back on them if you can't take it anymore. But to kill them. So this is identity crisis. The son doesn't know who he is. The parents don't know who they are. In general, nobody knows who they are. So a bunch of crazy people. If somebody doesn't know who they are, just like on Gur Purnima, we had this crazy person in the temple. I happened to be there when he came a few days back, and I saw him, you know, a big backpack. He was looking around, didn't know which way to turn. So I chatted with him for a few minutes, and he came in for Guru Puja that day. And then he's been coming a few days in a while. Mother Pavak also, one morning, I heard her trying to preach to him. But I knew all along this guy was going to go up. You could just tell by the demeanor and look in the eyes. And sure enough, when Suvas was making the announcements on Gur Purnima, he went off. He started yelling, "I'm Krishna. This temple belongs to me." Total identity crisis. Talk about the height of identity crisis, to think yourself to be Krishna. But that's what happens. One of the enemies, the six enemies of the living entity in the material nature, if we don't elevate our consciousness, is madness. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. These are the six enemies of this conditioned soul. So we have to take it seriously. If we don't make progress towards perfection, then we're going to go backwards. It's very difficult to stay in the same place. Almost impossible. So you may be a good person, but you're not going to remain a good person if you don't take to the path of Krishna consciousness, if you don't make progress. Inevitably, the material energy is going to pull you down through lust, through anger, through greed, through envy, through illusion or madness. These six enemies are going to attack you, and you can't stay a good person for very long. You're going to get dragged down. The material atmosphere is so polluted, especially in Kali Yuga. You're going to get dragged down by bad association, by tuning into the wrong mental radio station. As I've said many times, your mental activity is like tuning in to a radio station. You choose the station you tune into. So if you tune into the station where you hear all kinds of, you know, bad suggestions, that's what's going to happen. Like that kid killing his parents. He was tuned into the wrong station, telling that I hate my parents. Therefore, boom, he kills them. And tune into the wrong station. If he was tuned into the bhakti station, he would forgive. Okay, they were ignorant, and I was born from them. Somehow or other, now I've been set on the right path. It's my duty to try to help them. If they're not ready to hear full Krishna conscious message, then at least give them some prasadam. Gradually, they'll turn around. There's one young lady visiting from Ukraine. I met her because, you know, I go to that Ukraine festival every year. So I met her maybe 3-4 years ago. She's here in L.A. now, staying with a friend, Janaki. Is her name. So her father is also a devotee. He's based in London. So they were explaining how they came to Krishna consciousness. So the father was in Ukraine. Before he became a devotee, he was pretty well-to-do. And one of his friends became a devotee. So the friend would always come and beg some money for something. So he was give because it was friend. But he was always wondering, what is this money going for? So he went with the friend, and the friend had become a devotee, and they were using the money to buy boga for the Sunday feast. So for the first time, he got prasadam. And then after that, he kept getting prasadam. And after that, he became a devotee. And now his daughter is a devotee, initiated. So this is the power of prasadam. just by taking prasadam. He was not interested in philosophy or chanting or any of that. But just out of curiosity, he started taking this prasadam. Change. Change of heart. Change of consciousness. End of identity crisis. Then he became to understand gradually that I'm a servant of Krishna and I have to serve Krishna. So he became an initiated devotee and now his daughter is initiated. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness. Any way you come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement, to hearing the philosophy, to chanting, to taking prasadam, associating with devotees, just any way you come in contact, gradually, if you stay in contact, gradually the heart will be transformed, identity crisis will go away, and then we'll come to this point of the boy Narad Muni hankering to see the Lord. He saw him by the mechanical process, but then the Lord indicated that you won't see me anymore, but you will increase your hankering to see me, which is good, which is a good thing. So we can, again, examine our own hearts, our own consciousness. What do we hanker for? Are we still, after so many years of chanting Hare Krishna, hankering for some material position or some material association? We have to have association. We're not dead stones, as Prabhupada said. We have to think, feel, and will. So we can, again, monitor our thinking, feeling, and willing. What do I think about? What feelings develop in me? And what do I will myself to do? Very easy to check yourself when you have been trained in what to do and what not to do. So you can see, if you're aiming towards something that's not right, pull back. If you're thinking constantly about something that's not good, turn your thoughts towards the philosophy. And this is the benefit of the philosophy. If you immerse yourself in this philosophy, try to learn the verses, or at least try to learn the translations. If you say, well, I don't have a Sanskrit mind, I can't remember any Sanskrit. This is why Prabhupada translated. He said, I translated these books for you, first and foremost. If you go out in the street and just read these books and people ask you, what's in the book? Well, I don't know. That's not good. It's nice that you want to distribute the knowledge, but you have to, Prabhupada said, first of all, I created these books for you, my disciples and followers. Learn what's in the books. And same thing with prasadam. Prasadam is meant, first of all, for the devotees. One time Prabhupada was in an airport getting ready to leave and the devotees had made a huge tray of fruit for Prabhupada and they brought it to him while he was waiting for his plane to depart. They brought it to him and Prabhupada took a few pieces and then he said, you can distribute the rest. So this over-intelligent devotee was thinking, so many karmis are here in the airport. They will benefit tremendously by getting Prabhupada's, prasadam, maha prasadam. So he started approaching the karmis and Prabhupada called him back and said, what are you doing? Well, Prabhupada, I'm giving your leftovers to the... No, first of all, the devotees. First of all, the devotees. So we should always think like that. First of all, the devotees. First of all, the devotees should learn the philosophy. First of all, the devotees should accept Mahaprasadam. Then we can take care of others. So it's like circles. First you take care of the inner circle, then the next circle, then the next circle, and then keep going out as wide as possible. But if you're not concerned about taking care of the devotees, then your concern for the non-devotees is not really genuine. First of all, we have to be concerned about the devotees, the ones who have already come. Take care of them nicely. Make sure they're happy, make sure they're, Prophet said, there's no question of turning your back on a god brother or god sister who's ill. Take care of them. Otherwise, whatever feelings you're supposedly showing to the public, it's not genuine. You have your god brothers, god sisters, god family here. First of all, take care of them. Why overlook them to go and take care of somebody else? Not genuine. But because we're not being genuine, sometimes we don't want to associate with devotees. We don't want to associate with devotees. So we should ask ourselves, why? There are three kinds of association with devotees. You associate with those who are on a higher level by learning from them and serving them. Those who are on the same level, you make friendship with. And those who are on a lower level, you help them by giving your association, giving them guidance. So we can always be engaged. We should always be engaged in that. There are always in our communities devotees on those three levels. And if you're so advanced that you don't see anybody on a higher level than you, read Prabhupada's books. You'll come back to your senses. You're not higher than Prabhupada, that's for sure. So associate with the Prabhupada by hearing. And if you hear from Srila Prabhupada constantly, you'll, again, come back to your real identity of being a servant, not a master. Prabhupada noted that we call each other Prabhu, but we don't really mean it. Prabhupada said the word Prabhu means master. Not master, come here and shine my shoes. Prabhu, come here and shine my shoes. No, not like that. But sometimes we develop that mentality. I'm calling you Prabhu, but I'm actually thinking that I'm higher than you and you should do what I tell you to do. Again, identity crisis. We're minute, inconceivably small sparks of the Supreme Lord. And if we keep that in mind, then we don't become like Dr. Frog, puffing up until we burst. Yes, in the process of devotional life and the devotional community, some may have to take apparently higher positions as Tampa president or GBC or whatever. But even in those positions, they should not lose sight of the real picture. Out of duty, one has to train one's children. Out of duty, one has to take charge of the temple. Out of duty, one has to take charge of the citizens if you're an administrator on a political level. Out of duty, but should never lose sight of the fact that spiritually, we're all equal. Same potential. Different, but equal. Different. No two souls are exactly alike. Achintya beta beta tattva. Although, same potency, same potential, still not alike. So, when we're in a conditioned state, when we're on the devotional path, we have to always keep the right perspective. Try to understand who's on a higher platform. Rupa Goswami says, you have to do that. You have to see who's on a higher platform. That means you have to be trained how to distinguish who's on a higher platform. As we've said many times, there are different ways of determining seniority. The first way is by initiation. And Prabhupada drove that point home once. Where there was a father and son who came to see him. And he asked, who was initiated first? And the father said, my son. He said, then he's your superior. He's your guru. He's your son, but because he's initiated before you, he's your guru. So the first thing is by initiation. Then the second one, by varna. Third one, by ashram. Fourth, by age. And then the fifth, by spiritual advancement. But that fifth one is not easy to determine. It's not so easy to determine who's more spiritually advanced than another. Even in Prabhupada's days, you saw, Srila Prabhupada was part of the Gaudiya Math. There were a lot of advanced devotees there, very advanced, but they didn't necessarily see that Prabhupada was a pure devotee of the Lord. It's not so easy to see who's a pure devotee, who's more advanced than you spiritually. It's not so easy. Therefore, we stress to others. By initiation, you give full respect. If somebody's initiated before you, they may be younger, they may be whatever. If they're initiated before you, you give full respect. By varna, by ashram, if somebody is a brahmana, is more respectable than the kshatriya, than the vaishya, than the sudra. Everybody should get respect, but we give in that order. And same thing with the ashram. Many times the brahmacharis think, these grihasthas. But actually the brahmachari is the lowest in the ashram situation. Brahmachari should give respect to the grihasthas. The grihasthas are considered to be on a higher level. And sometimes in ISKCON we forget that. We think that, these grihasthas are just Sanskrit guys, whatever. No, brahmachari should give respect to everyone. Grihasthas, and then above that the vanaprasthas, and then above that the sannyasis. Everybody gives respect to a sannyasi. Doesn't matter, he may be initiated after you or not. I was initiated before Amala Bhakta Swami, but it doesn't matter, he's a sannyasi. So I give my full respect to him. So like that. And if you keep that in mind, then the fifth one is not so important. If you're automatically giving respect to everybody, then you're not going to offend somebody who's more advanced than you. Because you're automatically giving respect to everybody. All right, we can stop here if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Doesn't matter, Maharaj. You're a sannyasi. You can do anything you want.
My question deals with what you were just talking about. And the question came to me from different sources, different quarters. I know that you are a sannyasi, but suppose I don't pay respects to you. I don't offer my obeisances to you at least once. What is the consequence for me? I mean, do I go to hell? What happens to me?
Well, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada is the one who trained us in this etiquette, that the first time you see a sannyasi, the first time in the day, you should pay your full respects. And if you don't, Prabhupada said, then you should fast.
What?
Fast. So is there anybody here who wants to fast? And every time you see Maharaj, at least the first time you see Maharaj, you should pay your full respects. Otherwise, according to Srila Prabhupada, you should fast that day. If you see a sannyasi and you don't pay your respects, you should fast that day. Fast. Yes. Observe a fast. Don't eat. So I think most of us are interested in eating every day. So when we see a sannyasi, we should immediately pay our respects so we then have the right to take breakfast prasadam. Okay, anything else? Yes, Mataji, you had a question? Okay. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.